Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by 1,000 miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. Now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Good afternoon, ladies and boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Jamie Jordan, and this is a brand new episode of Gaming Uncensored. And we are indentured servants to Duff forever. Tommy's sitting over there, and what's on the show this week, sir?
We're going to talk more Red Dead, I would assume.
I can hear.
Yeah, this show's already massively better than the last one. I have not lost you a single time yet. So, by the way, let me mention, I'll get back to what we have on the show in just a second. We have a new Patreon supporter, so a new name coming up in our list here in just a second. Our boy Chris, who actually donated because he said, I need to help y'all get better internet. So, there you go. We appreciate that. On the show today, we're going to talk more Red Dead. We have BlizzCon news, mostly Diablo and all the controversy surrounding that. So that'll be fun to talk about. If we have time, there's a little bit more news around Nintendo. We've also got a segment from the aforementioned Duff talking about his new toys, because he got some new toys, and then he sent us a new toy. And so, yeah, good stuff. I'm excited. How are you doing, man?
I'm good. And I gotta tell you a little something, because you sent me that text about the toy that Duff got us, and we'll talk more about that as we go here. I didn't get that till about 10:30 at night one night, right? And I know that unless it's baseball or the playoffs, I can't text you at 10:30.
Fair.
Like, that ain't happening. So I'm looking at my watch, and I love this watch. But you don't see things so well on the watch because it's a small screen.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm looking at the picture trying to figure it out, and I sent Duff a text because he's several hours behind us.
Uh-huh.
And about 10:30 or 11, he's just, like, ready to talk. And so I sent Duff a text, and I said, am I seeing what I think I'm seeing? And he goes, yes. Yes, you are. And I said, look, we love you, man, but we have to have a discussion. This is getting a little ridiculous. And I want to make sure that your wife doesn't hate us.
That's fair.
And he said, and Duff's wife's name is Dawn. She's fabulous. And he said, no, dude, she's encouraging me. And I'm like, well, that's it. We're just going to have to save that entire family.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how, but they're going to own us for the rest of our lives.
Yes.
And I'm going to let you talk about what he got, because it's actually in your house.
It is. It's still sitting in the box. I haven't had a chance to get it ready to go. I'm hoping before you get here. If not, we'll do it when
you're
here. We have a Vive wireless adapter officially in the house now, and so it takes some work to get it set up. And that Duff's actually that's part of his segment we're going to hear in just a second. He got one too, and then sent us one as well. He got that and a new video card and other fun stuff, and so it takes some installation. It has a PCI card that goes along with it, and so I've got to break open the rig to get it in there and all that good stuff. But that will be happening soon, so that when you are here next week, which is super exciting, we get to play with some wireless VR, which is awesome. I'm really, really excited to see how it works.
We have not enough time to play all the crap we gotta play.
I know. It's ridiculous.
So let me just mention to you, if you're listening and you want to know what we really need, we need lots and lots of money so we can have more time.
Fair.
So, because we have like 3 days, and I have no idea how we're going to get everything in, and that was before we got this.
Duff kind of dropped this in our lap, and so now, yeah, we've got yet another thing to do. So expect lots of content, because we've got lots to do, which will be exciting.
We have accessibility controller, we have wireless adapter, we have Red Dead, we have Spider-Man.
Yeah, I think Spider-Man's off the list.
We're not going to sleep.
Yeah, at this point, I think it's going to be, we're lucky to get some Red Dead in while we're doing everything else, so... but we're going to be having a good time. So a good time to mention, great time to go and support us on Patreon, because there will be Patreon content coming for sure. And so really quick, thanks to the guys already supporting us over there. Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavash, Chad, Zeke, and now Chris added to the list. So thank you, Chris, for jumping on board. If you are interested in some additional content that'll be coming in the next couple of weeks, feel free to go by gamingUncensored.com, click on that Patreon button right there near the top of the page, and come hang out with us and enjoy all the fun stuff. So there'll be you'll be getting stuff on the feed from us as well from next week, but there will be bonus content over for the Patreon guys. So something to consider. Good time to do it.
Which is good, because we haven't given content in like 6 months, and I feel awful, but we're going to make it up. So. We're going to make it up next week. So
absolutely. Some stuff coming, stuff to look forward to. So, we should talk about stuff, but before we talk about stuff, we should let Duff talk about stuff, because Duff owns us. And so he gets first say on today's show. So, Duff is going to talk to us about his new toys, which are exciting. And I'm pumped to hear about it, because I haven't listened all the way through to the segment yet. So I want to hear his thoughts on the wireless adapter. And then we'll come back and talk Red Dead and Diablo and lots of other stuff. But for right now, here is Duff.
Hey guys, this is Duff, bringing you a new segment on the GeForce RTX 2080 Ti, the Vive wireless adapter, and a new VR game review, which I'm excited to share with everybody. So this weekend, got all the cool new tech and had a chance to tear open my gaming rig, which isn't a bad rig. Currently rocking an Intel Core i7-7700K at 4.20 gigahertz, 32 gigs of RAM, Windows 10 Pro, 64-bit OS. On a GTX 1080 single card, and I'm pumping that to a 48-inch 4K HDR TV, 3840 by 2160 resolution. Had a chance to benchmark that before and after putting in the RTX 2080 Ti, and holy crap, man, what a huge upgrade. I was using the Assassin's Creed Origins benchmark tool. And Tommy, I know you've been playing that a bit. As you know, that is a huge graphically intensive game. I loved it. It was like my game of the year a couple of years ago. Beautiful graphics, a lot of fun. On my current rig, it ran great. Performance was stable. But when I was playing it, I realized my frame rate was pretty low for such a, what I thought was a high-end rig at the time. FPS was only in the low 40s most of the time, which wasn't a problem, but I confirmed that by running the benchmark, and my FPS was 43, and that was using the GeForce optimized custom settings. So I popped in the RTX 2080 Ti, and holy crap, the frame rates jumped from 43 to 69. So yeah, this thing, it was a huge upgrade. Just for the heck of it, I changed everything to ultra high settings, and the frame rate only dropped to 62. Called a buddy of mine just for reference who's running a Titan. He's got a similar system, but he's got a smaller 4K TV. And he was like, yeah, my frame rates aren't even close to that. So, yeah, if you guys didn't already know, the 2080 Ti is a freaking beast. And I'm very happy to have picked it up, even just for the frame rate increases, performance improvement. But I haven't even had a chance to see any RTX or ray tracing stuff yet. It's really important for me for the VR. It has helped with that. It's been a great experience so far, and it's been running perfectly. When I had the box open, I pulled apart the Vive wireless adapter setup. And as you guys know, that requires plugging in a PCIe Y-Gig card. I was a little worried about that, but it's a little card, and it was super easy. I just plugged it into the slot. There was no power adapter or anything. Just plugged it in, closed up the box, and then I plugged in a wire to the back of the card, which runs to an antenna, which you snap on the top of your TV. The antenna then communicates with the wireless adapter, which you have to retrofit onto your headset. I'm using the Vive Pro, so it's a little more to it than the old Vive. The old Vive, you just kind of plug it right into the headset. This one, I had to have an adapter set up and tear things apart, but it was pretty fun. It was like doing a Nintendo Labo experiment, but with a much bigger payoff at the end, because I cut the cords. I am fully wireless, and happy to tell you guys that this thing is running flawlessly. It was pretty easy. I plugged it all in, followed the instructions, ran the app on, there's a Vive wireless app that helps everything work, and it just worked. Didn't have any issues. It synced right up, which was even better than my wired setup. Sometimes I had to fiddle with the wires to get it to sync properly, but this new wireless adapter worked great. So yeah, I was off and running and really excited to start playing VR games again, untethered. So yeah, really fun. And just want to let you know that it worked great. And it would be even easier, I think, to set up on the older headsets that you have. What are the cons? Couple cons. Battery life is a little bit of an issue. The battery is funny. All it is an actual HTC cell phone power bank. So I guess you could use any cell phone power bank, I would think. Fully charged, it lasts about two and a half hours. And I confirm that. Interesting. It really sucks the juice, and you can tell because the adapter gets pretty freaking warm on top of your head. So I guess that's another con. Already have a hot, sweaty headset on. It's fairly heavy, and you've got another pound or so with this adapter on top, and it gets hot. So I literally had to take one of my wife's headbands, kind of like an old 1960s tennis player, and put on a freaking headband to keep the sweat from dripping into my eyes, which worked. But yeah, I'm glad I have AC. And I'm a little worried because it gets hot, and with the amount of graphics that's are going on, I'm sure that there is some serious, radio frequency waves or whatever the heck this thing uses to talk to the Y-Gig adapter. And I'm worried that it's gigging my brain cells. I don't know what is going to happen, what type of cancer I'm going to get from this, but yeah, who knows? So I guess it's worth it because I am playing cool VR games without any wires. In any case, the first game that I jumped into, I think it might be my favorite game I've played so far in VR. I definitely think, in my opinion, it's a full-length game. I think it's the prettiest app game, VR, whatever, that I've done, and I've seen a lot of them now, to include the Batman experience, even Moss, which is beautiful. I sent you guys. I love that. I thought that was probably my VR game of the year last year. But I hadn't experienced this game yet, and this one's been out, I think, a couple years. It's called Lone Echo. And the reason why is because it's an Oculus game. I went ahead and had uploaded and got Revive working on the Vive, which allows you to play a lot of the Oculus games. And Lone Echo runs great using the Revive program. And man, it is beautiful. It is literally, it's a space sim. You're on a space station. Got basically the premise that I've played several hours of it now. And the premise of it is basically you're on a space station, stranded, and shit happens that you've got to figure out. And there's a bunch of puzzles you got to kind of, pretty simple puzzles that you got to solve. And the cool thing, though, is the mechanics of movement they have perfected. You know, instead of having to click and point and jump or warp or whatever, you literally are, you know, you're floating in a zero G environment. So you propel yourself by just touching or grabbing things. Eventually you get a little jetpack. It was ingenious. You literally are just floating around. And once you kind of figure out how to do that, it completely gives you I was standing, I guess you potentially could play it seated, but I was standing and moving, and I literally felt like I was, you know, floating in space. It was a very surreal experience. You eventually get to leave the space station, and you are literally outside the airlock, floating in space, looking at like Saturn and all the moons, and unbelievable. Like out of body kind of sci-fi geek, you know, dream. It was awesome. So far I'm loving it. You actually get to get into the spaceship where you're like standing and you can fly the spaceship sort of standing in it. And I can't quite explain it, but you literally are cruising through space in three, you know, with the VR going. And so you get to, you have those mechanics of flying or operating that. And oh man, it's been a blast. All the mechanics of it, the movement, all the little puzzles, they have a holodeck that you get to go on basically with holographic images that you can spin around in your hand, just like something out of, what was the movie Minority Report or something like that. Yeah, fantastic. Can't recommend it enough. I definitely think you should pick that up through Revive, or if you have Oculus, go ahead. And it's definitely worth the $30. By far the most fun VR game I've had so far. And again, I've played a lot of the really fun ones, to include Moss and Arizona Sunshine. It's great. I love it. So anyway, had a great time this weekend. But I got to get out of here. I'm going to the concert here in a bit to go see Citizen Cope, if you know who he is. He's in town at the Blue Note Hawaii, and I'm going to go have a blast with my wife and some friends. So, yeah, hope you guys are having a great time. I'm glad to be able to share a segment with you. And again, if that wireless adapter shows up that got lost in the mail, which looks like it's still kind of, I've been tracking it floating around, it may show up. I will send it your way, and you can cut the cords too. All right, guys. I am out.
Okay. Couple of things. I just want to mention that Dolph said that his rig was okay.
Yeah.
Right? Dolph said that his rig was okay.
Before the 2080. Yeah.
His rig was better than mine before the 2080.
Yeah.
He has a newer chip. We have the same amount of RAM. We have the same card. But his rig was better than mine before the 2080. I just want to bring that up.
Yeah, like, it's okay. It's fine. Yeah, it gets the job done. Right.
And okay, so after hearing that segment, I really want to play VR. And yeah. I really want to play Lone Echo.
Yep.
And I really am considering the idea that maybe we should just have Duff adopt us. Like, seriously, can we just be adopted? Because
I don't hate it. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'm all about that because, I mean, dude may be the coolest person we've ever met.
Yeah.
And we've met a lot of cool people.
Yeah.
But dude may be the coolest person that we've ever met. And I want to pose something to you before we move on. I know we have always said that when we get successful at the age of 89, 1 year before we die,
yeah,
we're going to make it. We've always said that we would have studios and they would be probably named Freak Child Studios.
Uh-huh.
I pose to you that the studio name needs to be changed to reflect Duff.
Yeah.
And what I want to do, here's what I want to do. I want to get a painting or a bronze or something of just Duff's face in the middle of the studio. That's what I want to do.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
I think it's great. I think we go the full-on, like, bronze bust a la, like, NFL Hall of Fame of Duff just right in the middle of the room.
Yeah, I'm all about that. Let's do that.
Yep.
And yep.
Welcome to Duff
him,
Studios.
I did not tell you this, but I told him anytime that he wants to start paying us to do this job full-time, I'll quit. Like,
right.
I'm out.
Yeah.
So just throw us a little money. I told him that, and you know what his response was?
Uh-huh.
I'm working on it.
I like that guy.
Yeah.
He's all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, thank you, Duff. We look forward to it. I would guess at this point, it wasn't really on my radar for us to spend a lot of time in VR while you're here. Now we're going to have to spend a lot of time in VR because we also, like, we got to play Lone Echo now, and I think that'll be a really fun test with the wireless. But we also got to play Creed, which Duff gave us a copy of.
Yes.
And haven't even touched yet. And so we've got some serious VR to do. We've got Red Dead. We've got the accessibility controller, courtesy of Chad. So thanks to Chad as well. We are well taken care of
yeah.
over here.
Chad is like he's kind of been lost in the shuffle there, but
yeah.
we are building out the accessibility controller
yeah.
as we speak. It's gonna be awesome.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. I think it's gonna be really fun. I've got parts in my house. They've come, they're here. I don't know how they're gonna work. We're gonna like prototype this thing out and figure out what we can do and what we can't do, and then kind of go from there and see what happens, and who knows, but it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
And I don't know if I mentioned this, but I have another headset in my house. I think I'm going to bring that.
Uh-huh.
I think I'm going to bring the other headset, because I don't know how we would use it, but surely we'll use it somewhere.
Yeah, I don't think you could do two VRs off of the same rig, but...
I don't think so either. That's why we need a card. We need a 2080, which holy cow. One last thing on that. Not only does Duke get a 2080, he starts with a 2080 Ti.
Right. I mean, no like, reason to play around.
Like, that's just unfreaking believable, man. That's all I gotta say.
That's fair. So thank you, Duff, for the segment, for the toys, and we're looking forward to getting to play with stuff and give y'all content next week. So with that being said, let's talk about some games for a little bit, and we'll get into to news stuff. I just got to mention, we'll talk about Red Dead here in a second. But the game I've played most, and we haven't talked about on the show yet, over the last probably couple of weeks, is Stardew Valley on my phone. It owns me.
See, I knew it.
It's, yeah. So, of course, I played Stardew Valley on the PC a couple of years ago now, I think. And it owned me for a while. It's just, we talked about it a lot then, so I won't go back through it all. But it's just ridiculously chill, like, whatever game that's just, for whatever reason, completely addicting. I just have to give them huge props for making the best mobile port I think I've ever played. Like, it, my fear was, and I was hesitant when they announced it, and then especially because it's like $8, I think, on the App Store, which is a lot for me to pay for an app. I was hesitant because mobile controls just usually suck, and usually ports, especially, what they do is they do the stupid on-screen joystick thing, which just doesn't work for me. I just don't like it. I've never been able to play a game with the like weird like touchscreen joystick thing and it feel good. And so I assume that's probably the route they were going to go with Stardew Valley. And when I saw reviews that they didn't, that they made it all kind of touch interface controls, I was like, well, I'll give it a shot then. The controls, I honestly think, work better on mobile than they do on the PC or on the Switch, which I've played Stardew Valley on both of those as well. The touchscreen controls just work really well. You just tap to walk, and so you just tap where you want to go. I was constantly frustrated with the controls, especially on the Switch, because there's lots of little weird things you do in the game. And on the Switch, it just felt cumbersome all the time. But this is, I mean, you just touch on what you want to do. Like, it auto, like, selects your items, which was always a headache on the PC that you had to select if you wanted to use the axe or the pick or the hoe or whatever, you know, to do all the stupid things you do in the game. This just does it automatically. Just you click on it and it kind of smart figures out what you want to do, and so it moves quicker, it's fluid. Two complaints that are fairly significant for a mobile game. It doesn't have cloud saves, which to me is kind of mind-boggling. So I have it both on my phone and on my iPad, but I can't like play the same game between them, which is really frustrating. And so I hope they fix that, because I think it would play great on the iPad, but I'm not going to start a new game on the iPad. And so give me cloud saves, please. And then it only saves at the end of a day. And so you kind of have to dedicate some time to it. And my app, if I put it in the background, it'll refresh randomly. And so I'll lose like a bunch of progress if I don't make it to the end of a day, and depending on what you're doing, that can take a while. And so I would love a quick save, and I would love a cloud save, and otherwise it's about a perfect mobile game. So kudos to them for a great port.
Okay, a couple of things. Here's why this is important, because I'm trying to do the math in my head to figure out exactly how many times you have bought this game.
Yep, three.
Okay. So four,
which is stupid. But three times.
For you to say this, like I told you before we fired everything up here, that I have a new phone coming to my house this afternoon. I've been using the same cell phone for 5 years. And it's finally like, yeah, I'm done. So I bought a new phone. And I gotta admit, with you talking like this, I don't game on my phone. But if it's that good, I gotta steal $8 out of the Patreon account and go buy a copy. Like, if it's that good, I gotta have it.
Yeah. It's just, if somebody, like, I think Paul the Half Swiss over, he's not gonna ever hear this because he's like 30 years behind on Gaming Uncensored shows. But on the Facebook, he was asking, you know, like, should I pick this up on mobile or on PC? I would recommend, I think, for people to pick it up on mobile. I really think it's the best place it plays, just better there than other formats, which is, again, surprising for me. It's not something that I expected to say, but it really works well. They did a really good job with it. So it was worth buying it for a third time to have it in this format. So, yeah, it's ridiculous that I've bought a game three times. It's a cheap game, luckily, but still, it's ridiculous I bought it three times.
Delph, this is what we do with what you give us. Like, seriously, this is what we do with what you give us. We are owned by mobile titles.
It's, yeah. Which is a good segue into what we'll be talking about here in just a second. But before we get into that, of course, we got to talk a little bit of Red Dead. What are your new thoughts on Red Dead since last we talked?
Well, now that you can hear me.
Yes.
And I'll probably make a little more sense.
Yes.
Here's my thing about Red Dead. And I have been watching the Facebook page trying to figure out relatively where we are in the space of Red Dead. And I can honestly tell you I have no clue. And apparently everybody else feels the same way.
Yeah.
Because nobody knows where they are in Red Dead. And, like, you're just kind of wandering around the world doing stuff. But the thing is everything that you do, for some reason, is awesome.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter if you play dominoes. It doesn't matter if you spend a half hour playing cards, which you did.
Which I did. I loved it.
Like, I don't even know. Were you playing poker there? I couldn't even really tell what you were playing.
Yeah, it was Texas Hold'em.
Yeah. So. And I'm watching that going, man, I would suck at this. But you literally played for a half hour.
Yeah.
And it was great.
Yeah. It was so slow. Everything in the game is so slow. And the poker game is so slow. There is a little bit of a skip function because, like, every deal, like, it will show you every second of it. So you can skip part of the dealing. It's still tedious, but it's so much fun. And it just goes back to that thing we've talked about over and over. Like, the game is so deliberate, and every component of it, including the mini games, are so deliberate. But they're so deep that, yeah, it took me half an hour to play, you know, however many hands of poker. That on, like, a video poker site or something like that, I'm sure would be, like, 5 minutes or something, you know? Like, just click, 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 and you're done. This was so deliberate, but in that, it's so engrossing and so immersive, and, like, there's just banter going on across the table and all this stuff that it just sucks you in, and you kind of don't mind that you spent half an hour playing a stupid poker game.
Well, and you're like, I thought it was hilarious the way they did it, because you spend half an hour playing the stupid poker game, and then you get up to leave, and Arthur's like, where's the preacher go?
Yeah.
Like he's playing cards for so long that he lost track of his drunk friend.
Yeah.
Like, where did he go? And I'm sitting over here laughing because that's how long you're sitting there.
Yeah. Like, and I'm curious. I would love to know, like, because the game is so dynamic, like, I don't know, like, what things are scripted to play out exactly like they do and what things dynamically, like, evolve over time. And so, like, this is part of a mission. When you get there, you're going to like, pick up your drunk preacher friend, and he's playing cards, and then you, like, take over his seat or whatever, playing cards, and he's, like, stumbling around drunk or whatever. And so I don't know, like, if you don't play or if you only play for a couple minutes, if he's, like, right there or just, like, right outside the door. Because when, like, I got done, he was, like, way down the way, you know, like, he had left and is just stumbling around out in the wilderness. I had to go find him stumbling around out in the wilderness. And so I wouldn't be surprised if, like, you didn't choose to play, or if you just play, like, two hands, that he's, like, just hanging out right there still, that he hasn't made it that far. I don't know. But it's those kind of things in the game that just make it so real, like, just so deep.
And I will tell you this that I know for sure, because for some reason, the first bounty did not get recorded. And so I went to YouTube.
Yeah.
And I found somebody else playing the first bounty, which, by the way, it was this British chick. And I will say again, I love watching you play games on YouTube because you don't say anything. Right. Everybody else bugs the crap out of me. Because they're just yakking, you know? And this girl was talking about her dog that is next to her. And I'm like, dude, just shut up and play. And Spider has said that he doesn't like me putting like, he doesn't like watching me play games when I put video content up on the Patreon because I'm not talking. I gotta be honest, again, I can't stand it. Like, yeah. I don't know how people watch that.
I don't either. I don't watch people play games very often. But there is, like, a range of, like, some people are good at it and are engaging and are interesting when they do it, and some people are not. And so, I mean, we've done it before, but only, like, when we're sitting in a room together. I wouldn't ever dream of doing that by myself, you know? Like, it just sounds terribly dull, and so... Yeah, I get you.
And so, back to my original point, that mission, that bounty, is totally scripted. There's no other way to play that.
Sure.
Like the guy ends up in the same spot in the river. You have to last one. There's no...
Yep.
There's no other way to do that. So... Some of it is very heavily scripted, but you played a mission, which I would like to go back and play if we can ever find a save, where you go to the bar with Lenny, and you end up getting drunk, and it plays out for like 3 hours, it feels like. It just goes and goes and goes. And you get to the end of that, and... Like, apparently, you just sort of did okay.
Yeah.
And
that was the first... Go ahead.
I was just going to say, that was a mission that I was like, I need to dig that up on YouTube and figure out how you're supposed to play that. Because I don't know what you were supposed to do to make that better.
Yeah, that was the first mission. I'm glad you brought that up, just because, one, it's just a funny mission because you're just, like, sloppy drunk in the game. And you're trying to walk around, and the controls are all jacked up and everything. Yeah, it's just crazy. But that was the first time that I noticed that, like, the missions have, like, objectives to them that, like, you can get, like, bronze or silver or whatever. I don't know. I never look at those objectives to kind of know until every once in a while. Now I'll remember to check and just see what they were. But, like, that one specifically had, like... There was a way, apparently, you could have escaped without going to jail. Like, I got caught when we were outside, and I didn't even think anything of it. Like, whatever, I figured that's just what happens. But apparently, there's a way that doesn't happen, because one of the mission objectives is, like, not going to jail in that situation or whatever. So, there obviously are, even in the heavily scripted things, which that was a heavily scripted thing, event, mission, ways that it can be dynamic and change as well. And so, yeah, I'm curious, too. Like, what does that look like? What if you were... Because... I just ran into a post because you're drunk, and it's super hard. It's already hard in the game to navigate, as we've talked about. The controls are so sluggish and heavy, and I'm getting more used to them, and it's feeling better. But still, when you're drunk and have the sluggish controls in game, I just ran right into a post and, like, knocked myself out. They picked me up and threw me in jail. apparently, you could avoid the post and not end up in jail. And I would love to see what happens if it played out differently. But I'm glad I did. You know, like, I'm glad that's the way it played out for me, because it just feels dynamic. It feels interesting. Like, it feels like the world adapts to you as opposed to you adapting to the world. And I think that's... one of the things Rockstar's just been amazing at for a long time. But for an open world game, it's just such a necessary thing. Like, it has to feel like you're the center of that universe, that you are literally immersed in that world, and the world is kind of your playground to see what happens, as opposed to you being a spectator of this kind of show playing out, which I would say God of War is much more that way. Even though it's somewhat open world, God of War was very, very scripted. It's very linear still, like, outside of, you know, there's side missions and stuff, but it's not an open world game like a Rockstar game is. And so it has a very different feel to it. You could execute great games both ways, as God of War and Red Dead both show. But there's something to that freedom that's really enjoyable.
Okay, let's talk about... I'm really loving the fact that you can hear me today.
Yes. This conversation is way more interesting than it was last week.
So let's... Because there's been a massive argument going on the Facebook page about the controls.
Yep.
And I don't think anybody is ever going to bring me around on the controls. They're awful. They're not They're heavy. They're cumbersome. The couple of guys on the Facebook page are going, they're great. I've gotten used to them, and they're awesome, and they fit the game so well. I think that's a load of crap. I feel like that everybody that is saying that, like, this game is so awesome, and they just don't want to ding it for anything. Because if you have to say things like, I've gotten used to them, they're not good. They're not.
I would agree with that. I think I would land somewhere kind of in the middle of that argument, in that I've gotten used to them and they don't bug me as much anymore. Now, one thing that, like, I'm still not great at, because you honestly just don't do it a lot, is gunplay. I rely on Deadeye a ton, which is kind of fun, honestly. And it has its own skill set that goes with it. It's not just auto kill kind of thing. But I rely on the Deadeye system heavily, mostly just because aiming is still a pain, even with me tweaking the sensitivity and everything else. Like, it just doesn't feel natural still, unless you're using the Deadeye system, which of course doesn't feel natural, but feels good. It's very rewarding. It's fun to, like, peg somebody or four guys in the head, like, while y'all are all riding.
You know
horses.
What it
like,
is? You know what it is? Huh. It's just like headshots and Max Payne. If you're playing Max Payne and you get headshots, that's the most awesome thing ever.
It's
Deadeye
just
feels the same way.
Absolutely. So they've at least got a system that helps compensate for some of the difficulties with it. The controls don't bug me at this point playing it like they did at first. Like, oh my goodness, the first couple hours of the game I was like, this is so hard. Not because the game is hard, just because, like, me getting Arthur to where I want him to be on the screen is so hard. Like, it just doesn't play like other games do, and intentionally. Like, it's a feature, not a bug, as far as Rockstar is concerned, but you have to buy into it or put up with it. Like, that's kind of, I just got to a point that, okay, it is what it is. Like, I love this game. This world's amazing. Like, I've got to deal with the controls. And thus, now that I've gotten more used to them, they're not bugging me. Like, I'm not sitting there going, oh my goodness, this is still so hard to get around. I just, like, now it's just, that's how this game plays. Like, it's just the heaviness, the sluggishness, everything else. Now I know. And so I'm doing better of being able to, like, loot dudes after I kill them, of knowing where I need to stand and how close I need to be before I can interact and all that kind of stuff. Simple things that work in every other game in a different way than they do in this one.
And I'm fine with being okay with it. But
yes.
But you can't. Like, they're not good. Like, they're just not.
I can hear the argument why you would say that it's a good decision. And if you like, I mean, it's a subjective thing. People play games differently, and so whatever. Not only do other games have better controls, just about every game has better controls. You know, like, just about every good AAA title I've played in the last several years controls better than Red Dead 2 does. It just doesn't control well. Again, intentionally how it is, but just, yeah, I don't like it.
And we're going to have this argument again on the round table because Cabbage thinks we're full of crap. But it just, like, even when you look on Google, if you Google that, there's 8 zillion YouTube videos about how to make the controls work for you. If you gotta work that hard, they're not that good.
Yes. Cabbage posted one, which I watched, and it's good. It talks about some of the settings you can change. But then, like, the video, the dude was like, and then you gotta practice. And so he, like, had this mission that he just was like, I did this mission over and over, practicing the gunplay so I could get the feel for it, so I could get used to it. I'm like, I'm not gonna practice, like, a mission 20 times to figure out how the controls work, you know? Like, that's fine if you want to do that, but that's not what I'm coming to this game for, you know? Like, I'm gonna deal with whatever it is and work around it. I'm not, like, in it to, like, practice my Red Dead 2 gameplay. Like, I'm just here to play the game. And so, yeah. If you're having to practice, if you're having to reload a mission 20 times to get the hang of the controls of it, there's something wrong with the controls of it. Like, that's weird, you know? Like, that's not a normal thing. So, again, it's the best game of the year. It's the best game maybe in a while. It is fantastic. Mm-hmm. We've scratched the surface. We're on chapter 2. There are 6 chapters. I just looked up because I didn't even know how many chapters there are. I don't think we've even scratched the surface on chapter 2 yet. I've done so little of like the story kind of quest stuff. It's just living in the world. Like, that's the fun of it. It's a game that I don't know how it's going to end, and I don't really care. Like, I hope I finish this game, like, get to the end of the story. But that's not my goal, you know? Like, you know, I just want to be in that world.
Here's what it is. Like, it's like Skyrim in that way.
Yes.
Like, I have Skyrim. I put 150-some-odd hours in Skyrim and still going. But I've not ever finished the main quest, and I don't care.
Yeah.
Like I just haven't. And Red Dead's the same way.
Yeah.
And one thing that I want to look out for, because granted, I was talking to a guy that hasn't played it yet, but one of the guys at work, I keep telling him, like, dude, you got to pick it up. It's so good. And he's like, well, I've heard that the first half is top shelf, and then the second half is like an on-rail shooter. And so that makes me afraid that we're going to get to that point in the game, and the second half of the game's just going to flop.
Yeah.
And so now I'm looking for that.
Yeah. Well, we're not anywhere close to it yet, so I'm going to enjoy the ride. It's great. So, all that said, we're almost out of time on the show already and haven't even scratched the surface of the show notes. Go by GamingUncensored.com to see all that we missed, because we're going to miss most of it. But we do have to talk about Diablo. So, let's at least get that in. BlizzCon happened since last we did a show and had its share of controversy, to say the least. A new Diablo announcement, which was expected. There had been a lot of build up to it. The new Diablo is called Diablo Immortal. The kicker is it's a mobile game with no plans at this point of coming to PC or consoles or anything else, just fully Diablo mobile game. So on the game itself, go find, there's a trailer in the show notes if you want to go see what it looks like. And It does not excite me. It's not something that, like, I saw and went, oh, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It's Blizzard, but it's also a third-party developer that's working alongside them to execute, and I'm not into it. It didn't capture me in the slightest.
Here's the thing. A lot of people are upset about this, and that's the big deal about this, because there's this huge controversy. A lot of people very, very angry at Blizzard. Blizzard has already lost a lot of money out of the stock market because of this deal. And I want to care, but I just don't.
Yeah. So a couple of things on this. That's the bigger story that came out of it. Wasn't the new Diablo game, because that kind of flopped. The bigger story that came out of it was the backlash to this Diablo announcement. Even in the presentation of it, that they just didn't think this through, plan very well, know the crowd. People coming to BlizzCon are coming there for Diablo 4, which there was news before BlizzCon that they were going to at least tease it. There even is news that, like, Blizzard had planned at the end of the Diablo Immortal announcement to have a Diablo 4 teaser, and then scrapped it at the last minute because it wasn't ready or something. And so people who show up to BlizzCon, the people that are in the room are reacting in real time, aren't the people that are going to be fired up about this game. And Blizzard has to know that. And so, like, they even had, like, a Q&A with it. You can find some of this online, and it's just super cringeworthy, where audience members are coming up to the mic and asking developer questions. And, like, one of the dudes is like, this is an April Fool's joke, right? Like, this isn't real. Like, in the middle of their presentation, another guy comes up and asks, you know, so I see some of the gameplay elements here that do look cool, and so I'm wondering if for, you know, like hardcore fans or whatever, if you're bringing this to PC or have any plans for a console or whatever, and one of the guys on stage is like, no, this is a mobile game. We only have plans right now for it to be a mobile game. And, like, everybody boos. Like, the crowd just is not happy about that. And the guy says, what? Y'all don't have phones? Like, it just, the whole thing just missed the mark so terribly. And a lot of that's on Blizzard. But then, like, the stupid stuff that's happened afterwards with people being upset and, like, taking it way too far of doxing and stuff like that, that gets out of line. Like, it's just a bad reflection on the gamer community as well. It's just, it's a situation where the whole thing is just a giant train wreck, which is too bad.
We don't have time, but I'm going to say this because you and I are getting older, and I'm getting to the point where I'm not a huge fan of the internet.
Yes.
And so, okay, Blizzard did not execute this well. We'll give you that.
Yes.
But it is totally Blizzard's right to make a mobile game based on one of their franchises and cash in on that.
Yes.
Like, it is not your God-given right as a gamer to get the Diablo that you want. Like, Diablo 3 was not the Diablo that you and I wanted.
Yes.
Like, it's just not. And, like, we were disappointed, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Like, it's all right.
And that's a really good point, because we were, like, when we played Diablo 3, you and I both were like, meh, you know, like, we love Diablo 2 so much. And that was, like, when I was in high school. Like, Blizzard's so slow at putting out games, obviously. But you know what is a beloved game? Diablo 3. And partially because it was a new generation of people that ended up picking it up that fell in love with it, that didn't play Diablo 2 because it had been so freaking long since Diablo 2 had come out. And so when Diablo 3 came out, you and I and a lot of other people in the game world were not happy with it. We played it and it was fine. It just wasn't great, in my opinion. Not nearly as good as Diablo 2. But, like, it coming out on the Switch right now is a huge deal. People are pumped. Like, people are freaking out about Diablo on the Switch, which is great. I don't care. But awesome. Good for Blizzard, you know? And then it's like the whole thing over again. Blizzard missing the mark on just not knowing or not being cognizant of who is in the room. But there's a chance that this is a huge deal. You know what Blizzard's big deals are right now? Blizzard's big deal is Overwatch and Hearthstone, which is a mobile game. Like, massive, huge thing. And that's, you know, taken off. And so good for them. And it makes total sense that they could pull off a mobile Diablo that will be a huge deal for them. Probably isn't going to be the thing we want. And honestly, let me say this as somebody who was a complete Blizzard homer for many, many years. Blizzard isn't making games I'm all that interested in right now. They're not a company that at this point, like, I have to hang on every, like, BlizzCon to me used to be a really big deal, and I wanted to know every detail that came out of BlizzCon. I don't really care that much anymore because, like, Blizzard's doing stuff different than what I'm playing now.
I want to go to BlizzCon, but
oh sure,
but,
it'd be a blast.
we can go to BlizzCon, but if we're not going, like, we're not going to spend half a show talking about it.
Yeah.
And
unless something like this happens,
I just really, it really bothers me that people feel like that they just have the right to stuff. Like,
yes.
If you people are not aware, Blizzard's in this to make money. Like, that's what they're in it to do. And they're going to make stupid money on Diablo Immortal, even with all this. They're going to make a lot of money, and they know it.
Yep.
And that's the point of being in business. And Look, we do this show because we love it. And we went for a long time, and I've been thinking about this all week because of this Diablo deal. We went for a long time, and we didn't make anything. We paid for everything out of our own pockets. We pirated games. We did all kinds of stuff. And now here we are 13 years later, and it didn't turn out the way crazy Jamie Jordan thought it would in 2005. But we've got all this stuff. We've yeah. got people backing us. We've got money. We've got the ability to pretty much do what we want to do within reason. This show, after 13 years, is finally successful. It's making money because of you guys. And I'm going to be really honest. I don't want to go back.
Right.
Like, seriously, we love this show and we do it for nothing. But I don't want to go back because getting stuff and having money and having games to play is, like, that's the dream.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. It's fantastic. Yeah. I agree 100%. So, really quickly, because we have, like, 5 minutes left, a couple other things from BlizzCon that I am excited about. The Warcraft 3 remake looks really good.
Yes.
I love some Warcraft before World of Warcraft. I love World of Warcraft, but Warcraft when it was an RTS was one of my favorite games when I was young. And so I played Warcraft. I didn't play Starcraft a ton when I was young, but Warcraft was my jam. And so this is just to be super nostalgic. And so that looks cool. And if you're nostalgic about World of Warcraft, World of Warcraft Classic is officially coming next year. Will be included in your Warcraft subscription. I don't know if they're going to have any kind of standalone thing for it. That would be cool. Although I've read some reviews of people that played it at BlizzCon and are like, yeah, it sounds cool, but it really sucks going back to what Warcraft was at the beginning. Because, like, there's all kinds of really nice upgrades they made that you don't have anymore and you will miss them. And so it may suck completely to play original vanilla World of Warcraft, but I think it's a cool idea. But we don't pay for a Warcraft subscription anymore, so we may be locked out. If you're right. nostalgic for original Warcraft, World of Warcraft, it is coming next year, though. And I think there's a demo still going on through this weekend. So if you want to do that, you can. I'm clicking through really quick just to see if there's anything else. There's an animated Super Mario Brother coming in 2022, maybe, or something like that, that apparently Miyamoto is a part of. So maybe it won't suck.
Destiny 2 is available from Blizzard for about another 4 days. So if you haven't picked that up, go PC. Get that.
Yeah.
I have not done that. I gotta sign into Battle.net and do that. But I'm excited to do that. One thing I wanna mention before we get out of here, my buddy Lucas that I work with raises money for sick kids every year by playing games. And he has been playing all month. And tomorrow is, I believe, the last day. If it's not the last day, then it's coming up pretty quick. But he's going to be streaming on my Twitch channel all day tomorrow, trying to meet his goal, and he's getting close. And he came to me yesterday. He's like, dude, tell your people. Because I got to be honest, those guys really hate me. Like, I can't even go to work and talk to them about this show anymore. Like, Duff sent us the wireless adapter. And I'm like, yeah, I can't say anything about that. Because they don't understand, really, like, how this is happening. So
I picked up the package off the front porch, and I was bringing it in. Lana says, who's that from? I say, Duff, and she rolled her eyes so hard that I thought she was going to fall over it. All right.
Like, I would think she would be used to it at this point.
I know.
But like, I can't even talk to anybody else about it because back to what I was saying earlier, somehow, some way it snuck up on us and we are stupid successful and it's awesome.
It is awesome.
And we're so, so very thankful for everything and everybody who takes care of us. And so if you get a chance, go and support my buddy Lucas will be streaming on my channel. I'll get a link for the show notes this afternoon so you guys can go check that out. And I think you're going to like it. He's playing through the original, not the original, but the first Tomb Raider all day tomorrow.
Very cool.
And he tells me those games are awesome.
Supposedly.
He still have not played them, but apparently they're really good.
Games, man. So many of them. By the way, really quick, let me mention releases, just because there are a couple worth noting. There's a new Tetris Effect that's like getting really great reviews, which I wasn't expecting, but apparently big deal. Hitman 2, so the rebooted Hitman franchise is in its second iteration now. By the way, the first Hitman of the episodic things was the Humble Bundle monthly game for last month, which I'm pretty pumped about at someday getting to. But it's got an 81 on Metacritic right now, which is a pretty good score on Metacritic, so good for them. And then what else was I going to... Oh, Battlefield 5 coming next week. It has an 86 on Metacritic at this point. And then Thronebreaker, the new Witcher Gwent thing that I don't still understand what it is. It's kind of this cartoony animation combination between narrative and card game and whatever is out and is getting good reviews on Steam. So if you're into The Witcher, there's a kind of new Witcher game out there.
We're probably going to end up playing that.
I know. I love Gwent so much. And so the combination of that sounds really fun. I'm watching the video on Steam right now. And it's cool because it's kind of like cartoony kind of graphics, kind of comic-y, comic book-y kind of graphics, but looks really fun and like a very much deeper version of Gwent. And so I don't know. I'm into The Witcher, and so it looks cool in that way. Kind of isometric in a way. I don't... It's weird. It's very different than what The Witcher is, but looks cool. So there you go. Go check it out.
Do you realize that we have enough stuff to do to create content 8 hours a day for the rest of our lives?
I know.
Have you thought about that?
So much out there.
Because, I mean, it's just nutty, and all we need is more time.
Yes.
So we'll say again, to give us more time, to give me an excuse to go back to Tommy's, because we're not going to cram all of this into 3 days, come and join us on Patreon. Because I'm going to need to go back, because 3 days ain't going to do it. Definitely join us over there. Go to the Facebook page, because it's hopping over there. I don't know what happened. It just all of a sudden blew up. definitely go check that out, because there's massive discussion going on over there.
Lots of Red Dead talk recently.
Yes, there's the Twitter.
And other stuff, which is great.
Which, holy cow, we got to get back to Horizon talking about stuff we got to get back to. Wow.
Yeah. That we haven't finished that game. My goodness.
No, we have not. So, yeah, definitely a lot of stuff to check out. I feel like there's something else. Is there something else new that we've created that I'm forgetting to mention?
Probably. Who knows?
Segments.
segments for sure.
We got to have segments. You can email them, gamingunscensored@gmail.com. That's how Duff sent his. He recorded it, emailed it, very simple. Or you can call the voicemail line at
509-GAME-210.
Of course, it's going to cut you off after 3 minutes because it's Google and they like to do that. But call us back and we will splice that together because Tommy's good like that. So... By the way, I don't know if we've solved it, but we were having issues with the podcast a couple weeks ago. I think we have that solved.
I think so too.
But if you're still having issues, please let us know about the feed. Let us know what's going on there. Other than that...
And if you're still listening, let me throw one more thing that I've been trying to preach and forget. Go rate and review. Rate and review. That helps us out. If you're still here, hopefully you like the show. Go give us 5 stars on whatever you're listening on. If 5 is the max, give us 10 stars. If 10, whatever the max is.
Two reviews.
Yeah. Yes. But please go brag on us if you don't mind. If you like what we do, we'd appreciate it.
Yes, because we want to keep doing it. So please help us to do that. Other than that, I think that's everything. Is there anything else, sir?
I think we're good.
All right, I'm Jamie. That's Tommy. And for one more week, we are Gaming Uncensored, and we are out.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gamingandcensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.